All right, Jerry Mazik, a lawyer, here for another Law Talk. Thank you guys for joining us today. As always, we want you to like, follow, and subscribe to the content. We're on all social media platforms, all podcast platforms, everywhere you go. Please check us out on YouTube. Nobody gives us love on YouTube. Most of the following is like TikTok and Facebook and stuff. So anyway, check us out. If you haven't already, please make sure you check out Michelle Allen. She's been a longtime supporter of our show and is your go-to in the area if you're going to buy, sell, rent, lease real estate. She's also a good community leader, so make sure you check her out if you need any help with that stuff. If you want to learn some self-control, discipline, or how to kick people in the face, just visit masonsmartialarts.com. Two locations, one in Millington, one in Covington, been open since 1993. And then on the square here in town, we have Jam Books and Records. If you're looking for new books, records, signed memorabilia, graded comic books, you can check us out there. It's open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. Holistic Healthcare and Hormones is a clinic that my wife and Dr. Laura Huffman run together. And it's not about being sick. They're trying to, you go to them, even if you think you're healthy, to help optimize your health. And if you need help with social media marketing, branding, et cetera, visit MasoniteMarketing.com and Josh help you with commercials, video editing, whatever you got going. And then I do want to real quick remind you guys that I think this is going to air the weekend before the last weekend.
This will be next Tuesday.
So it'll be the Rocky Horror Show at the Ruffin Theater. Will open for the final performance this weekend, Friday and Saturday. The Friday night Halloween performance is a midnight showing. I think it's $15 for a ticket. It is an 18-plus show. You have to be 18 or older to get in. If you're familiar with the subject matter, you understand why. But if it's your cup of tea, please come check us out this weekend at the Ruffin Theater in Covington. And then joining me today is Miss Brisa Smith. How are you doing, Miss Brisa?
Good, how are you?
And Miss Brisa is a model / fashionista / entrepreneur, right?
Everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Mom, wife.
Yeah, mom, wife. All those things are
all
important,
above,
right?
Yeah.
So I sort of got to know you from the Blooming Lily
Boutique
Blooming, right?
Yeah.
That you do, and it's Mumford is where you say it's out of?
Yeah, I started in Brighton. Okay. I lived there for 15 years, and then we moved to Mumford 5 years ago. So mm-hmm. I'm in Mumford.
Gotcha.
Work out of my home.
I noticed you had a really big following, actually. It's like 12,000 plus people that are following your page. And do you do it all online? Like, is everything some form of online?
I do. I do Facebook. I have a free app in the App Store, the Android and Apple. And it's about it. Facebook.
Is it all like female fashion? Is that what
yes.
the vast yeah. majority of
I've
it is?
I've had a couple of dad tees just for like Father's Day, mm-hmm. but that's about it. Only women.
I got you. And so what got you into wanting to do that? Just an interest in fashion? Or?
Well, I worked at Wright Medical Technology in mm-hmm. Arlington. I don't know if you're familiar with that. They make orthopedic implants.
Okay. Hips, I know knees. What you're talking about. Yeah.
Well, I worked for the marketing team and a couple of other different departments from age like 18 to almost 30. And then they asked me to come in their office one day and said, hey, we don't need you anymore. So I was devastated. I was laid off. And so I decided to take 2 years off. Because I'd always had a job from, 15
sure.
to almost then. Mm-hmm. And so I had seen somebody else selling clothes out of their home, mm-hmm. and they did it through, like, Facebook. And that was when Facebook reached a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. Now you have to pay people. You mm-hmm. have to pay Facebook, I should say.
Yeah.
Like, sponsored ads. That was when the reach was greater, and I was like, I can do this. You mm-hmm. know, you always think you can do something until you do it. I started with my sister, who just had a baby, my older sister, and then it just kind of fizzled out after a month with her. So I was like, let me buy you out, the money that you put in, and I will give you back your money, and we'll just go ahead and separate, since she couldn't really do too much. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And now, 12 years later, I'm here.
So 12 years later.
I'm doing
my math in my head on how old you are. Because
I started in 2013, the business.
It's interesting that you started with marketing, because I'm curious your perspective on those years you mentioned would have been a huge transition in marketing.
Yeah.
You went from what I call old school marketing. I have an MBA in marketing was my focus. That's why everything's all branded, right?
Yeah.
But the old school marketing I talk about, even when I do lectures on it, is what I view as newspapers, TV ads, print ads,
yeah.
even billboards, really. It's kind of old school marketing.
Yep.
And then now we've got this modern school that's so much
totally
online.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah. How was that for you, that growth and transition?
I feel like that helped me working in marketing, because I can reach customers and communicate with customers more. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that helped me. But it is totally different. We didn't do any Facebook back when I was in marketing. And now it's just, that's all you do. You live on Facebook.
Yeah, no, it's like everybody does.
Instagram.
It's like an addiction.
You have to. Because Everybody's on their phone, like how constantly. Or a billboard. That's the only other way. There's no newspapers really anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, who reads a magazine?
Even the billboards, though, to me, because I had 34 at one time billboards.
For what?
Kicking a lawyer.
Just the one business?
Yeah. Well, so I was aware years ago that the kicking lawyer thing, I was sort of already aware of like personal brands. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times people... and sometimes it's probably wise to separate the two.
Yeah.
But I sort of felt like I had enough self-control maybe that I could be the brand. And so like what's developed now for me personally, at least locally, I think, is most of these businesses I have they're attached to me somehow. You know, like I'm part of the brand.
But people recognize your face too.
Yeah.
And they associate you with that. So like, you know, they see my face, even though I don't know you, like mm-hmm. you will recognize me mm-hmm. right away.
Yeah, yeah. Associated with the building.
Face. Exactly.
With
the
business.
The business, exactly.
Yeah, so the people know me as the Kickin' Lawyer. And like mm-hmm. there's people that know Kickin' Lawyer but don't know my real name.
Yeah.
You know, which is fine. I don't care.
I actually thought it was Jer. Because there's a show and his name is Jer.
Oh, really?
I don't know how you spell it, but I think it was...
it's J-E-R-E.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know how they spelled it, mm-hmm. but it was Jer. And I would, because Jerry's not typically spelled like that.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. So I thought it was Jer. So.
Well, your name is unique too.
Yes, it's Spanish.
Brisa. Okay. Does it mean
Spanish.
Anything?
It means the breeze. If you go to like Kroger and you look in like the detergent aisle, uh-huh. it'll say like Brisa, Mountain uh-huh. Breeze.
Yeah, yeah.
But it'll say Brisa on the bottle because that's the translation.
Gotcha.
So it's the breeze.
Okay.
My parents got it from Mexico.
So Josh is my brother.
Yes.
Our father's name was Jerry, also J-E-R-E.
Yes.
And he said he had an uncle named that spelled the same way. But it has been a struggle through my life, and I'm sure you've experienced it
yeah.
too. Or people call you everything else. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't really care. And like on the brand thing, I don't care. The Kickin' Lawyer thing. My point is like all my billboards, not to digress on it, but when I first started, you know, I was like everybody else just trying to be prominent in my mm-hmm. field. And I knew I thought I was a good attorney, but if you haven't done it for a long time, you may not have the name recognition or word of mouth. So how do you build the business? Well, I knew that I didn't have money to compete dollar for dollar with like Morgan & Morgan and these big companies, right?
Yeah.
But what I did is I've read and listened to everything I could. And there wasn't a lot of information on like lawyer marketing and lawyer business plans. Mm-hmm. When you go to law school, they don't teach you the business of law.
How to market yourself.
Yeah, yeah. They'll teach you. As a matter of fact, they don't really teach you how to practice either. They teach you how to think like a lawyer.
Yeah.
That's what you pay all the money for and to get the license. So anyway, I knew that I had to make myself different. So anyway, long story short, what I wanted to do was come up with a way. I had been the karate guy locally for so long. And I was like, well, that's kind of aggressive, you know, fighting type thing. And black belt lawyer was taken. So I was like Kickin' Lawyer. And I dropped the G because I thought that's more Southern.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be the guy that you could relate to. Like, oh, that guy makes fun of himself. He'd be cool to hang out with.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I felt like that would be more personable than these guys that were like, call me. I'm the...
Corby Trot.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to be kind of the guy that you could relate to and that didn't take himself too serious. Because my clients typically... I only do criminal defense now. Mm-hmm. So my clients are not the CEOs usually. They're every person could be, you know, a client. Anyway. So that was one thing that was important. And then the second thing was I also realized that billboards are not really, you're not trying to get them to react to the billboard. You're branding. The billboard is to place your brand in their brain.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want the billboard to be cluttered, have a whole bunch of stuff. And this is what I just, the logo.
Memorable. And
something
memorable.
That people are like, what is that? And then when they eventually need a lawyer, they think Kickin' Lawyer. So we get calls for all kinds of stuff. And my point is, if you go to Kickin' Lawyer, it refers to all the other businesses. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the hub is the Kickin' Lawyer.
For sure.
So, but anyway, I said all that because we get talking about the billboards.
Yeah, you know? For sure. Yeah. I get it. It's good.
Yeah. So on the, well, you do this for me then, because Josh is my marketing director. And we still even struggle to get reach on different platforms.
Yes.
Like, do you do anything on YouTube? Or
no, I don't do anything on YouTube.
Do you do Instagram?
I have like over 20,000 followers on Instagram. But that was before they had all the videos.
Mm.
Like, it's nothing but videos now.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of phased out of it because I couldn't reach anybody with mm-hmm. just pictures. So my reach has just plummeted on that. So I really don't mess with that too much.
So your main
Facebook,
platform would be Facebook.
My Facebook group and then my Facebook page and then my app. It sends notifications, like push notifications.
Gotcha.
Like if you have shopping apps, that'll send you a notification.
Gotcha.
Like, hey, there's a new item.
So you're dripping them. You get the lead in, and then you're able to drip them sales or up clothes or whatever you got that drops. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And I do, like in my group, I give them like sneak peeks, and I tell them, hey, coming at 7. That way they know, hey, what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's coming. So
Cool. And you got like regular folks, I assume, that
I
come
do.
Pretty regular?
I have people that have been with me since the day I started, and they've been my faithfuls, my good faithfuls. And I love them. Like, I love all my customers. I've had people drop off too because of the algorithm. Mm. They don't see me anymore, so they just fade out. But there's a tag on Facebook that you can do at everyone that reaches. That helps reach more people. You get to do that once a day.
Oh,
so
I try
to do that.
Okay.
I think on the business page, I do that in the group, but on the business page, it's like at followers or at highlights. So you might want to try that sometime just to reach more people, because it might just pull someone out of the woodworks that has been following you since day one that hasn't seen your posts.
And do you ship the stuff to them, or do they
come? I ship. I have like a warehouse in the back my husband built. It's like a 3,000 square foot warehouse that I work out of. It's kind of like a mother-in-law suite we made it.
Gotcha.
So for resale value. Mm-hmm. But I ship all over the U.S. and Canada.
That's great.
Every day I
ship. Then I was fixing to say, so like for me, all my stuff's pretty local. We're working on getting the bookstore online, but for the most part, what I'm trying to draw for all the businesses is local people.
Yeah.
And so Facebook seems to be one of the best for me, because I seem to, you can kind of target the geographic. But I was going to say, as for you then, TikTok and stuff should be great also.
Yeah. I feel like I'm a little scared to do TikTok. I don't know.
You're not on TikTok?
No, I'm not on TikTok. I actually use my daughter's account to get on TikTok. I don't even have my own account. But I just feel a little more, I don't know. It's just never been me to do what you do.
Yeah.
You just have more of a bigger personality than I do. I just...
Appreciate that, I think.
I feel like you do anyways. Mm. But I guess I need to work up the courage. I don't know.
The way I look at it, I don't care. And I don't mean I don't care in that I don't. I often say I don't care what people think. That's not entirely true. But I guess I just don't react the same way as other people do.
Well, I don't care what they think.
I guess I don't care about their...
I just don't have the balls to do it, I feel like. I just don't have the balls to, like, in the...
Yeah, but I think that you do, though. I've looked at your stuff, and I think that you... I think you would be perfect for it. I think you would do better at it than we do.
I don't know.
Yeah, we can talk about later. I can explain why I think that. But there are several reasons that I think you would do well, especially if you were on TikTok and stuff. Cool. And there's a lot of... I get stuff occasionally pops up on mine that's fashion oriented, and there'll be trends and transitions you could do. The only reason I bring it up is today I had a lady call and hire us. She lives in Florida, mm-hmm. and she got a ticket here in Covington.
Weird.
Yeah, and found me on TikTok. Crazy. Said she saw a video while she was here, I guess because it pushed it to her while she was here.
Location.
And then when she got back and was thinking about an attorney, she remembered it and then called us and hired us for it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, but so I did get some business from it.
Yeah.
But I would think for you, where you're not necessarily trying to get just local customers, TikTok would be an awesome platform for
you.
And
I've seen a lot of boutiques sell on there, and they direct them to the website, or they do a TikTok shop. I don't know. I've wanted to do lives and like live selling, but I don't know.
Well, you're very personable. Like, you're talking clear and good now.
Because I know you.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same thing when you're talking to whoever.
I
literally get in my underwear and cold plunge in front of everybody.
I don't know if I could do that.
I just don't even care. My wife will say something. She said something the other day. I posted one. Because every once in a while, I'll have people comment that they don't believe that I do all these things I run my mouth about. I cold plunged this morning.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, last week, sometimes I get out there and get naked. Like, for real. Because we got a fenced in backyard, but it's right here in town.
Yeah.
And the judge lives right by me, the old judge.
Yeah.
So he'll come out. And the other day I was out there, and you can't really see through the fence, but if you kind of paid attention, you could kind of glance through.
The cracks.
Yeah. So I get in there in my birthday suit to cold plunge, and it's usually just me and the dogs. And the judge comes out, and I can see him walking back and forth across the street.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, I can't get out. You know, I got to stay in. So I ended up doing like a 20-minute cold plunge.
Oh, no.
Anyway, my point is, I just don't care. My wife mentioned, she was like, you posted another video in your underwear. And like, my underwear are the same size as the shorts I wear.
But people
wear
Speedos to the beach.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I mean,
people talk about bikinis, but like,
either
it's
way,
a bra and underwear,
I
basically.
Don't care. I mean, don't watch it, you know? I'm not.
I hope,
the reason I do that kind of stuff is I really do think I've benefited from a lot of these positive habits that I have, and I would like other people to.
That's why I talk about things that I do. That's why I post reviews on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Like, if I love it, then maybe you would too.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so on the fashion stuff, is like, there a style that you go for, or like, are you posting for the tweens or the mama soccer moms? Or like, what do you think?
I used to sell for younger girls when my daughter Autumn was younger. Uh-huh. So I'd bring in clothes and have her model for me. But now she's 19. I phase that way out. I have such a broad range of age of customers, from like 20 to like 65. So I do bring in a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I have a certain style, but I do love to do comfortable, versatile pieces that, like, nobody wants to go to a boutique and buy a $100 piece. You mm-hmm. wear one time, someone sees you in it, can't wear it again.
Yeah.
I like stuff to be very versatile. And in today's economy, like, you want to get the most wear out of your clothes. Mm-hmm. So I want to bring affordable mix and match pieces. And also quality, too. I don't like to skimp on quality.
So the stuff that you get in is all, at least it looked like on your stuff I was looking at, it looks like it's all, you actually physically have it and have tried
it.
And because you're typically modeling all of it.
I do. And I don't like to do pre-orders because I like to get it in my hands and try it on. And I like to size everything according to its, you know, fit. Mm-hmm. I don't like to do like, okay, everything fits like this, because mm-hmm. it doesn't. It either runs a little smaller. If you have a bigger chest, you need to size up. Stuff like that I like for my customers, because they can't come in person to shop. They can't try it on. I like to tell them, hey, this is how it's going to fit. So make sure you size accordingly. Mm. I do have those people that don't listen to me, and then they get the wrong size, and you know, it's a return. But my return rate is very low. It's like maybe 5%. Mm. So I don't do a lot of returns. I accept returns, yes, but I don't.
And you, I assume, package everything in-house?
I do.
You do the whole thing?
I take it out of the original packaging, and I put it in a nice poly mailer, like a clear poly mailer to protect it, and then another poly mailer, and I weigh it, ship it, drop it off at either UPS or USPS, and I do that every day.
Yeah. See, I need to get with you more after this about that, because I really want my bookstore to be like that.
And you get a media rate. If you ship books, you get to pay less.
Yeah.
So...
I got to get it automated, because I don't have the time to do it myself, but I have staff there.
You have a lot of inventory, though.
We do
that's
have a
lot. It's going to be like a huge undertaking.
Yeah, but I got staff that's just sitting there.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
That no offense to them. They're great.
Them. I totally agree.
But they're literally sitting there. And
pay
so
them to do something.
If I could get it automated, totally, yeah. I mean, even if they just put 20, you know, SKUs in
a day
yeah. on the thing, I
totally
mean,
get it. I would.
I just got to get it done. I keep sitting on it. We meant to do it literally 2 years ago, and it just... It's just taking so much time.
Is Jam on TikTok? Do you do TikToks with that?
Yeah, and actually Abby is the manager of that business. Each business has like a manager that I trust that helps facilitate things. And so as I learned when I was younger as an entrepreneur, I try to do everything myself. Mm-hmm. And because it's always you think you can do it best, right?
Yeah.
And then I realized that was going to limit my ability to do other things.
Yeah.
So I had to start developing leaders that could then facilitate the wishes anyway.
It's just hard to find people you can trust.
100%.
Because, you know, nobody can do it like you. You know how to do it.
No, I was just talking to another young... There's a young cat that runs my Millington Taekwondo school. Mm-hmm. And he's super talented, Vincent. So shout out if Vincent ever watches any of this. He's like 21, good looking dude, awesome martial artist, mm-hmm. killing it teaching these kids and adults. We just had a testing where both schools were together, and it was clear his students were good. Like, I mean, I could see a difference on how he was vested in them. And anyway, I was talking to him about that very thing, about the one of the problems on any business in growth is finding somebody you trust. Mm-hmm. Not even that they're going to work. They're just not going to steal from you,
yeah.
Number one. And then number two, that they will have any initiative and work ethic on their own.
Yeah.
You know, because the vast majority of you have good people that come in, and we're real lucky here at the law firm. All these women over here are amazing. Like, mm-hmm. they come in, they kind of manage themselves. And it wasn't like that when I first got here when I took over as the boss, but they're great.
Yeah.
And then I have other good people at other businesses, but you know, sometimes you got to like literally put a checklist. Mm-hmm. Hey, unlock the door, turn on the light,
yeah.
You know, check, like do these basic things. So anyway, long story short, Abby is the manager, and she handles the TikTok.
Good.
And she does an awesome job, because as you target markets, that market was more feminine than mm-hmm. any other business I've done. And when we first started it, Josh and I's marketing was still, I think, too masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's kind of running the TikTok, and they're amazing. Like, she does these trended...
Her reels are good on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the transitions and everything.
She's doing great. And interesting on TikTok, though, with her. So I have a lot of followers on TikTok. But the Jam page gets more views. So she doesn't have near the followers on that one, but her videos will get way more views. So I don't know why they don't convert to followers.
Have you ever tried posting as yourself, you know, obviously as yourself on your lawyer page, but about Jam?
We do occasionally. Okay. We'll every once in a while drip something about the market. I even thought about
them? Do you tag it?
We did, but we don't do it consistently. Yeah. I mean, it's probably not enough to make a difference. I had thought about doing, like, again, now people, it's I guess my ego. Sometimes people I don't think realize I still actively do martial arts and compete and do stuff like that. And so I thought about doing like a technique of the week or something video on that to sort of push that. But yeah. Anyway, the whole point of all that is I really think you could benefit from TikTok.
And I've thought that too, but I don't know. I wish my daughter would do that because she's, 20. Mm-hmm. She'll be 20 in a month.
Well,
so
when we're done, Josh can talk to you. He's got apps that cross post everything. So like if you were on Facebook, you literally can have it linked where you do the post and it automatically is pushed to Instagram and TikTok.
Well, when I post on Facebook, it posts to Instagram. Mm-hmm. But like I said, Instagram just sucks. Yeah. I don't do videos. So that just
do paid posts on Facebook?
I used to. Mm-hmm. I used to run ads just as a little, a little picture just to direct them towards me. But that I just feel like I'm kind of throwing money out there. If I don't know exactly what to put on the ad that I want to reach. I feel like if I'm not paying the bucks either, then I'm not going to reach that many people. And I'm not trying to spend $2,000 a day to reach you if I'm not going to make $2,000 a day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everything's word of mouth, repeat customers. And then those customers in, like, Wisconsin, they get their friends to buy. And then those friends. So it's just kind of like a trickle-down effect. So that's really helped me.
Have you debated brick and mortar at all?
I never want a brick and mortar. I never want that responsibility of me being there 8 to 5 or having somebody be there from 8 to 5. I like being able to go to my shop, walk in the house, put in a load of clothes, go back to work, work out if I want, and then go back to work, do whatever I want, and just be at home.
I think that's probably smart. Yeah. In hindsight, sometimes I wish I had done some of my stuff a little differently because you have the overhead no matter what. Yeah. Whether you make a dollar or not, you got to pay that overhead. It's so funny though, when you have these multiple brick and mortar businesses, people think you have all this money.
Well, you're renting. You don't own the
No. This is the only building, the only one that's owned. The bookstore we rent, although I would buy the building if the guy would sell it to me. Gotcha. And then the taekwondo schools are both rentals.
Rentals.
Yeah. So you got that plus payroll. Like you said, you got to pay somebody to be there. And that's my biggest cost at every business is the payroll. Yeah. It's very expensive.
That's what I don't want to do.
And you got payroll taxes and you got to manage the schedules and then you got to deal with, complaints and times off and all that stuff. That's, again, why you got to have good managers there. So,
for sure.
But no, it's always interesting to me because, it seems like you have a good enough following. You would probably do okay with a brick and mortar.
Yeah.
But you're right. It is a lot more hassle.
I do have a lot of out-of-state customers, though. That's a little over half, So I do have a lot of Tennessee out of Tipton County, just scattered Tennessee people. So
now the modeling stuff, did you model before this?
No, never.
You just decided?
I mean, you can see the progression of my pictures from when I started to now, like they're totally different. Like you can see my confidence building up to today's pictures. And then fit videos. Like I feel like I was the originator of like the fit videos because nobody was doing them. When I started doing fit videos, it's like, I've got to show these girls how stuff is worn, how it flows, how it fits, whatever. And I started that. I'm like the OG boutique of Tipton County. I'm 12 years in now, so
yeah.
I don't think any of these other ones are as old as me.
Yeah,
and they're still open,
The one up here just had an anniversary, but I can't remember how many years it is. It might be 10, but they just had a big blowout thing.
Yeah, and that's I hear if you pass the 7, what is it, the 7-year mark or 3-year? I don't remember what it is.
Honestly, 2 years.
I feel like nowadays if you pass just a couple years.
A lot of new businesses, it's just a couple years. It's hard to stay in business. Yeah, but I mean, if you're in business a decade or more, that's pretty impressive. And it's a lot of sacrifice too that I don't think people appreciate. Any business is going to be work.
Oh, it's and a lot of these younger girls, they say, "Oh, I'm gonna go open a boutique. You look like you're just having, all this fun and just trying on clothes all day and slinging money bags to your closet." It's literally not that. It's work. It's hard work.
Mm-hmm. And do you still? I mean, I assume you had an initial love for fashion. Do you still feel that way, or is it all work?
No, I love doing what I do. I love, I love the clothes I get. I've never been obsessed with clothes though. I've never been the one that just runs out and buys all these. Spends a whole paycheck on clothes. But no, it's just progressed into that. I wear everything I sell. If I didn't love it, I wouldn't bring it in.
So I could buy this sweater.
Actually, I bought this from another boutique in North Carolina that I love to shop with and that they're pretty much the only one I shop with.
Yeah.
Because I love their stuff. So, yeah.
Okay.
My jeans, though.
Well, I thought for a
and
second.
My shoes.
I thought for a second because it's not a Perry Mason. It's a bear.
So. I did. Well, I had a Labradoodle. I could get a pug.
He's a French bulldog.
Oh.
Don't offend him.
Sorry.
That's okay.
What is that? Missexing?
I don't with a dog.
Misgendered.
He doesn't care. I will say, you know, he does all this masculine stuff with me, and I have him wear this harness, so people think he's a service dog. But it's just.
Do you take him into stores?
I do. I take him everywhere,
and so he looks like a service dog.
Well, I did get him licensed as an emotional support animal, but I did it more so that nobody could tell me not to bring him anywhere. And he is trained. We actually took him. He got a little graduation certificate and everything. But anyway, my wife got him another harness that's kind of a purpley blue, and it's got like planets and suns on it.
Yeah.
It's not very masculine. And so she put it on him and he looked depressed. He was like, what am I wearing?
He's probably used to that one.
Yeah, that's it. I'm sure it's probably more comfort. But
that's funny.
And he's always like this. He's super cool, super chill. We had one guest that he did not like.
Didn't he jump on the table?
No, he will jump. Sometimes he'll get on the table in the beginning to kind of smell you.
Yeah.
I've had that before, but there was one a while back that he was like busting the door in trying to get to the guy.
Does he bark at strangers?
He will bark. Not really. Again, unless it's, he doesn't like other dogs. But with people, he's usually super cool with everybody. I've literally met like one person that he didn't like for some reason.
Weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that they have a sixth sense.
They have
bad
vibes.
They have a sixth sense that maybe we don't have. Yeah, so
I think they do. They do.
Tell me again. It's Blooming Lily Boutique, right?
Blooming Lily.
So where'd the name come from?
Well, I used to live on Bloomington Drive in Brighton. Mm-hmm. I was there for 15 years, and then when I started the business, I had heard that you should have like a flower maybe in your boutique name. So I did Blooming for Bloomington, and then Lily just because it's an easy flower.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want like daffodil or. Something long, you know, carnation, whatever. So I did Blooming Lily Boutique, and that's where I came from.
You don't want something that the guy can't spell when he's trying to look up the present.
Yeah, well, people misspell Lily, L-I-L-L-Y, but it's one L, one L.
I think I would have misspelled
beginning.
It. Yeah. talking about guys shopping there, can people do gift certificates or any of that?
They can. I have denominations from 25 up to 250. I have a friend that likes to buy his mother a gift card for Christmas, and it's, a higher denomination because he can't shop with me, but we knew each other from high school and he still likes to support me. So he does that for his mom and his sister and stuff like that. So
That's great.
Yeah. And you can buy all that on the app. So, and it's an e-card. So you buy it, you put your information and they email it to you and it comes with a code and you just
plug it in.
You can print it out and then stick it in the card when you give it to your person. Mm-hmm. So,
cool.
Yeah.
And then you were saying how you like to take time to work out, which
I do.
I like to do a lot. What do you do for working out?
I've been working out since my mother put me in homeschool. When I lived in California, she hated the schools out there. She felt compelled to homeschool us, so we had to have a form of PE. It was the seventh grade, I think. So I was doing the Jane Fonda videos and then the step aerobics, the step.
So now you're dating yourself.
I'm 43, everybody. Okay. I really don't care about telling people how old I am. I've got grays. Like,
I think you look great. You don't look 43 at all.
Thank you.
But,
I get
that
a lot. Nowadays, Mexican blood.
Nowadays, well, yeah. I was going to say something else. But anyway, nowadays in the South, you never know. Old school, the Southern ladies don't like. To talk about
mind.
Their age, so
I really don't.
I don't care either. I'm 46. I'll be 47 in January, and I wear it almost as a gray badge of courage.
Badge of
I guess,
honor.
Yeah. So, but anyway, go ahead.
But yeah, I do treadmill. I used to do elliptical. I've ran a marathon, a half marathon. I think it was 7 years ago in Nashville, the Music City half marathon. That was my first and last one because I was grueling. That was really a long one. I was mostly a runner, but I stopped and I just do a treadmill. I just do a little bit of everything. We have a bunch of different things in our gym. It's in my shop. So I just go there and I used to go to like ATC when I lived in Brighton. I just do a little bit of everything, but I don't want to beef myself up. I don't want to look like I'm like, completely ripped. I just want to look toned and just keep my weight at a manageable.
Do you work out every day?
I try to. I love working out at night and then go to bed. I don't like working out in the morning anymore, but I try to do Monday through Friday.
That's good.
Yeah. I take a break on the weekends and
when
I'm traveling.
the most recent studies on longevity on the two main factors, and people have probably heard me say this now multiple times on here, but the two main factors are supposedly be clues into your quality of life as you age. One is VO2 max, which if you do, it's got to have like veritable heart rate in order to train VO2 max, but like running does it a lot. You could even do it. You could technically do it on elliptical if you go fast enough, or, you know, like circuit workout, stuff like that. It's good for VO2 max. And then the second factor is quad size, your quad mass. And the study seems to think that that's kind of because if you maintain muscle mass in the quads, you're still able to kind of pick things up and squat, you know.
Yeah,
move
I
around.
Do a lot of squatting with shipping and stuff. I get on, you know, squat on the ground to pick up items, and I try to use that as a form of exercise as well. I think in my head, this is a form of my exercise, walking and picking.
Yeah, it can
be. I have bins and I walk back and forth, so I do that as a form of exercise as well.
That's
I just
great.
Constantly go. I'm always, I think my dog is always following me around the house, like, Mom, when are you ever going to sit down? And she sits wherever I'm standing. Mm-hmm. And then when I move, she walks and waits for me there. And then when I sit, she finally gets to sit for a minute longer.
That's kind of how Perry is. Perry likes the podcast because we're sitting for a few minutes. You can't see him, but he's over here asleep. Yeah, and he's got a little bed in my office, so if I've been there for an extended period of time, he
good.
Sits. It's funny, though, how your dog, I think, is a reflection of you as the owner, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they have similar attitudes and habits and whatnot.
Yeah.
And yours is Coco, you said?
Coco.
Yeah, is that the only one you have?
I do. That's the only one I have, yeah.
And then there was something else I was going to ask you a second ago as you were talking about that. It made me think. Oh, yeah, your bacon.
I do love to bake.
You like to do a lot of baking.
I do.
She brought us some stuff that I couldn't eat for right now, but the girls loved.
Did they?
Loved
Good.
It.
That's like my best recipe, apple muffins. Everybody I make them for just drools over them.
Yeah, and you don't look at that as a side business?
No, I never. Like, I've told my husband, I would love to, like, open, like, a taco truck because we make some mean tacos, like carnitas and stuff like that. Because my background, my mom has told me how to, you know, showed me how to cook like that. But I just couldn't do the constant food, you know, just, I don't know. It's just not me. I love to eat.
You've mentioned several about your heritage. So you're
Mexican.
Both of your parents are Mexican?
Yes. They were born in California. My grandparents were born in Mexico, and I was born in California. So like second generation, third generation, I don't know how you.
Do you speak Spanish?
No, my mom gets mad at me. She's like, I tried to teach you when you were younger and you never wanted to learn. I'm like, well, you were the mother. You should have taught me.
Yeah, well,
should have forced me.
That's odd if they were both Mexican.
We didn't speak Spanish in the house.
Okay.
All we spoke was English because we, you know, grew up. I'm from California. Mm. I was born in Long Beach and we moved from from California to Dyersburg. That was where we landed directly from California. I hated it.
In Dyersburg?
Yes, it was either black or white. Like, you couldn't be Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
You walk into Walmart and people look at you like you have three heads.
Well, I don't know that you immediately look Mexican. You know what I mean?
Maybe, like, I did back then. You could. I don't know. I've gotten, like, I'm Mexican. I did my ancestry thing. So I'm Mexican, French, and Indian. Mm. Not like red dot Indian, but like, you know, Cherokee, one of those things. But yeah, I don't know. People just treated me different. Even in high school, girls were just, like when I started Brighton High, I didn't have those friends.
So
I hung out with the skater girls.
When did you move to Dyersburg?
When I was 15. 97. 98.
Okay, that's okay.
Well, I was born in 82, so yeah, 97.
I graduated in 97 from Covington.
Gotcha.
So I was born and raised right here.
Yeah.
And I did my ancestry, and you can't get whiter than me. I'm as translucent as they come.
Yeah, I'm a mutt.
Yeah, no, it was like Welsh, British Isles, Scandinavia, and that's it there. And then you can see it with mine, because, you know, the ancestry, you can do like the map that shows the migration, and it's literally like from there to Virginia and then from there to Tennessee, like just straight line.
That's funny.
Yeah,
my husband did it too, and he is 1% black.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
is
he's
it like
Southern.
Is it like sub-Saharan African or something like that?
I don't remember what it was, but or Nigerian, one of the two. I don't remember, African or Nigerian, but I thought that was funny because he doesn't look.
Well, California just voted to give reparations, so
maybe he can get some. Make me rich.
Reparations, I don't know. Yeah, I bet that was different, though, moving from California.
Yeah.
The politics, though, wouldn't have been quite as bad back then, I don't think.
Because
that was when Arnold was governor, right? Sometime around then?
No.
Was
he wasn't
later?
In there. He wasn't in there at the time.
He was in the 2000s?
He came later.
Okay. But still, if they had a Republican, he was a Republican. Republican governor elected at some, you know, and Reagan was a Republican. But was he California? He was California, right?
I don't remember. Reagan?
I think Reagan was the California.
I don't think he came from California.
I don't think Reagan was California.
Was he Texas governor? He was a governor before.
I don't remember where he was
from.
Original governor.
Maybe it was Texas.
I was so young, though. I didn't even pay attention to politics when I was
out
there.
Oh, he was California.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was right. He was California governor.
He served as the 33rd governor.
What years was he governor?
1967 and 1975.
Oh, well, that was way before I was even alive, born.
Yeah, no, but my point was, like, you know, now we look at California as a hardcore blue state.
Yeah, I would never
move
back.
And I don't know that it's always been. Oh, you would not go back.
I would never move back. The last time I went was 2019 to visit some of my vendors, because they're all in L.A., and I went to go visit them. We stood for a week, me and my daughter, and I would never go back.
Well, I will. Now, you clearly have more experience in California than me, but I have visited a few times now because my son is in the Navy and stations in San Diego.
It's nice to visit, but it's nice to come back.
Well, San Diego, though, to me, felt way different than L.A.
Oh, totally. Yeah. My aunt lives there, so it's definitely different. Mm-hmm. L.A. is just crazy. And it's like the melting pot, though, of all different nationalities. So that's what hit me. Being 15 and then moving to Tennessee, it was like, whoa, there's no other Mexicans out here. So yeah, that was that. I felt that in high school when I went to Dyersburg High. I just didn't fit in. I didn't feel like I felt in at all. I couldn't.
Great till now. The alcohol.
I could not fit
in.
I'm not even a drinker. I don't know what's wrong with me. I feel like as I get older, I tongue tie my words. Like, I'll pick two words, I'm going to think of two, and then I put them together on accident. Mm-hmm.
Well, so I used to stutter real bad.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. And
I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, so what I had to do was, what I learned is my brain is just going so fast that if I, like, focus on it,
Well, how did you stop?
I just, that's literally it, martial arts, believe it or not. Wow. Like, I mean, people think that I'm, you know, just slinging what I'm selling with martial arts, but if it wasn't for martial arts, I know for a fact I would have never been an attorney. I'd have never been a cop. I'd have never been. There's so many things that would have just never happened
like
for me.
Like, it gave you a lot more confidence.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And, you know, and I went through phases like most people. You know, the confidence grew into arrogance at some point, maybe still now. You know, I mean, it's something
people
that you
might
have to,
think that about me, too.
It's
but
something
I mean,
you have to manage, right? Yeah. So, but it's very, it has helped me, like, even as a new attorney, when I still wasn't, you know, finding my way a decade ago, I walked into the courtroom like I owned the place. Like, I had no problem being the most confident person there.
Well,
you know?
I feel like that comes too from the way you dress when you're in the courtroom. You know.
Well, it helps. So, I've read articles on when I was always looking for whatever was the what is this little thing that's going to help me get over the next, you know, help the client get to this next level. What can I do to get to the next? What do I need to say or do or dress or how do I need? So anyway, there are two things that I do when I dress. One, I like for the suit to fit well.
Yeah.
And my weight fluctuates depending on what I'm doing competitively. And so I have three different size suits that I keep. I literally have like 10 suits that are my skinny suits.
Yeah.
I have 10 suits when I'm in what I call my athletic fit, where I'm more muscular but not fat. And then I got my fat suits.
I think women have the same problem.
Is that right?
Jeans. Yeah, you get like, you know, if you're a 4, you have a 6 and then a 2.
Yeah,
you fluctuate. Yeah.
And some days you may be in one or the other. But so I think one, you got to have them fit right. And that's not hard to do. A lot of guys think they have to spend a bunch of money on suits and you don't. Most of my suits come from Express. Mm-hmm. And I'll wait till I get coupons and stuff. They might cost $150, $200, which for suits
the
pretty
store
cheap.
In the mall?
They have one in the mall. And yes,
that store.
That's
oh,
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I used to shop there when I worked in corporate.
I usually buy them online, but the store's in the mall. The number two thing, though, that I do always is I read an article in the very beginning that was talking about female judges and how that if you were a masculine man, big guy, that you needed to wear more feminine, softer colors and floral prints with a female judge. So what I started doing everywhere was wearing a flower. I always wear a boutonniere.
Mm-hmm.
But I do it also because they can identify me. So sometimes the client hadn't met me, and when they go to meet me, they're like, just look for the guy with the flower. So I always wear a flower with the handkerchief and the whole deal. Anyway, I think those little pieces of detail are important.
Yeah.
They help.
Well, you have to walk in like you own the room, too, and I feel like your attire, you know, helps that as well.
Well, it not only helps in maybe my presentation to people, but it helps my confidence.
Yeah, for sure.
When I was first out of law school, I was poor, right? Mm-hmm. Like literally went to law school in a blue Demon minivan, old Dodge Caravan that would barely make it there. And I remember I would go and I wouldn't even have lunch money to eat. Jeez. Like it was that we were that
yeah.
because I was trying to raise kids and I was 33 when I went to law school and I had quit working as a cop. We had pulled the little retirement I had out and my wife was really supporting me. She's sugar momming me through. But anyway, it was a struggle. But I remember I went from that blue Demon minivan and I was going to court in it initially and it just, I didn't feel confident, even mm-hmm. though there's nothing wrong with the blue Demon minivan.
Yeah.
Really not, right? But it had nothing to do with that. It was more the way I felt.
Yeah.
So then I went to try to buy a car. It's the first new car I'd ever bought. And I just didn't know. I didn't think I was going to even get approved for it. Mm-hmm. I remember I was a brand new lawyer. Anyway, long story short, I got approved for this Honda Sonata.
Yeah.
But it was brand new.
Yeah.
And it was black and, you know, a sedan. And I vividly remember when I got in that car and went to court, just my confidence automatically was... So my point is you don't have to buy a fancy car necessarily to be confident. But the way I presented myself, the whole thing built into me feeling more confident. And that confidence breeds more success.
For sure. Yeah. I get that.
So similarly, women could benefit from, you know, maybe. Do you give any fashion advice to them? Do you like, I mean, obviously you put together outfits, but
I
do
mean,
you advise them on what they need to wear and stuff?
I do have people that message me and say, hey, you know. Should I wear this or this? And what should I wear it with? And I give them suggestions, but it's not anything I just do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But if
so
you,
like if they're a different body type and...
Oh, yeah. I'd say that in my videos, too. I say it's flattering on this or that or whatever, but I'm always open to people talking to me. Like, I will check messages at, like, 10 p.m. sometimes. Mm-hmm. I know I need to learn to put a cap on my response times, but I'm always here for the customers. I just always want to be mm-hmm. present for them.
Nice.
To help them, so...
Well, tell everybody one more time how to find you, where you're at, all that kind of stuff.
I'm on Facebook. I have an app in the Apple and Android store. My VIP group is on Facebook. It's Blooming Lily VIP group. And then on Facebook as well, it's just Blooming Lily Boutique. Instagram as well, but that sucks. So everything else I don't have. So.
And you're going to start a TikTok.
I don't know. Maybe.
I think you could do well with it.
I don't know.
So we can talk about it.
Get some... more confidence on that one.
You seem to have plenty. I mean, if you can stick yourself out there modeling, I think you'd be fine on
but,
it.
But yeah, I feel like that's different though.
You just do the same thing. Like
those
literally,
I don't know.
You literally do what you're doing right now, just post it on a different platform.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. I really think you could benefit from the TikTok. My hope is a year from now you come back and you're like, I did a TikTok. You're right. I've got like 400 million followers.
Maybe so. I just don't want to grow that much. I don't want to be where I'm like not able to speak to my customers anymore and have to pawn off my communication to other people.
Well,
I don't want to be so big. My biggest year was COVID year. That was huge.
That
blew
sense.
Me out of the water to where I had to start paying taxes in four other states because of the Wayfair versus mm-hmm. South Dakota Act, North Dakota Act. But since then, I don't have to pay anymore as of last year. But that really blew me out of the water. I just don't want to get so big to where I can't talk to you anymore, you know, as a customer.
I understand that. And if that's you're cool and that's the ultimate goal, but I would push back for you a little bit. And you're just talking about how you guess you're scared or you need to get out of that. To me, that's a fear statement.
Is that a cop out?
Yeah. It's that, you know, look, if you're blessed enough, if the Lord blesses you with bounty, you need to be thankful for the bounty you're blessed with, you know, and then you have to make adjustments or not, you know, it's not to get on another tangent, but it's like people that talk to me about guys, I'm talking about men that come to me and they always, they want to talk to me about fitness stuff and at the gym or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, just all these excuses on why they're not doing that. And like, I have the same number of hours in the day that you have.
Exactly.
It doesn't require extra money to do what's necessary to get in shape. It's not that you got to, it's not, it's literally, you got to be committed to it and you can't make excuses about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I think that it's up to you. I think the success
I
cap
can argue
is
with you all day on it. Probably.
Well, I'm not arguing with you. You may be right. I mean, and it's all relative.
Yeah.
You know, if you're cool with where you are and you're not looking to be, you know, anything bigger or badder than that, that's
great
too.
I feel like I need somebody beside me to do it with me, like my daughter, somebody to go back and forth with on a TikTok.
Well, maybe you should.
Like,
do
I don't know if I can do TikToks.
Maybe
just
you should
by
do
myself,
a podcast. Do you a podcast?
No.
Those are easy too.
I want more extra work.
Jerry says they're easy.
I do a lot already.
He comes in and sits down at a mic and then goes out of the room.
Well, that's what Josh says, but Josh forgets that I did this by myself for
a while. You did a much simpler version of it.
I'm not saying it was perfect, but my point is like, you can do it. People make excuses.
What would you be doing if you weren't a lawyer? If you hadn't stepped out of like quitting to be, you know, the cop, and then
I would open something else. I'm a serial entrepreneur. Like every year I open a business. And sometimes
have
it
you
works
had any failed businesses?
Yes.
What?
Well, there's one I'm not going to talk about because there was litigation over it. Okay. Let me think if there's one I can. Oh, I can talk about High Octane Fighting Championship. I started a company in 2003 or 4, I think. And not to, again, bore everybody with it, but UFC was not approved in the U.S. Like at the time, the government was trying to shut down MMA fighting. Mm-hmm. At the time, they called it no-holds-barred fighting. And so I saw on that was pro level, and I could see how they were, Dana White, I think, and them had just bought the UFC, and they were starting to try to make it a little more professional. And that was professional, so the guys there were getting paid. Well, I saw on the amateur level, there was a market for it. There was a hole in the market because there was nobody running a professional type amateur show. So I started it was two businesses actually. I started the High Octane Fighting Championship, which is where you could pay me as the owner of the High Octane Fighting Championship to come to your market. So if you're a karate school guy or whatever, I'll go to your city, your state. I'll bring you the card, so the fighters and everything. I bring the cage. I bring the lighting equipment, the sound equipment. I bring everything there, and then we run the event. And you've paid me the service to provide that platform. I then go back and take the fighters and I rank them on a website. So the fighters, even if they lost, they got points to motivate them to fight, is what I was trying to do. And then the second thing was I realized I couldn't build that company if I didn't have fighters to feed to it. It's not like now where every teenage, you know, 20-something boy is an MMA fighter. Back then, nobody was. Yeah. There were karate guys and then you had boxing guys. Very few people even did jiu-jitsu. So I developed a curriculum called the Complete Combat Program that I sold to karate instructors, and they got DVDs and a manual, and it taught them how to run an MMA program, and within 6 months, if they followed the curriculum, you would have somebody ring ready for a beginning amateur fight. And so then I taught them how to brand it too, to where they create their own teams, they have team shirts, and they get the people to come to the fights, and people are supporting the fights, and you go this team, and they're cheering for their team, like sporting events. But I also was doing it because those would feed the shows that I was also selling. And so I did, and it was successful for about 3 years. And then the mistake I made is I was in a lawyer at the time, and I didn't know how to protect my brands and like my processes and everything.
Idea?
Yes.
Oh, geez.
Multiple people who had come to the shows and were in bigger markets, like they were from Memphis.
So it could take
and
off better for them.
Yes.
For sure.
They didn't need, all of a sudden they didn't need me anymore. Yeah. They just did their own thing. And then I kind of got cut out on it. And so it started to fizzle out. We did like 50 something shows across 4 states.
Yeah.
I mean, it was big for a while. I even had an opportunity to go into the casinos and do some fights. And there was one TV network that talked with us. I was 26, 25, but I learned a whole lot from that one.
Yeah.
But anyway, I didn't mean to run my mouth about all that, but that's one that, I think, I wouldn't say it was a failure though. That's the thing is like, even the other one that I'm not mentioning wasn't a failure because I learned from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I learned and pivoted. And then I've had some that I've exited successfully, like the Cellar Restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
We opened it. I built the brand.
I need the Brussels sprout recipe for there.
I can hook you up. That was kind of the first. That
really
was the
good.
First dish we approved actually
really?
To have was the because Reggie, the guy that was our head chef, he's back there now.
Mm-hmm.
Reggie, that was his recipe was the Brussels sprouts.
That's
and so
good.
When we were first meeting, talking about doing it, and the he was literally back here playing poker. He brought in food for us to try, and that was the first
that
thing
was
we
it.
Tried.
Yeah, those are good.
But anyway, I was in on that. I was there 3 years, I think, and then I sold out, and it was great. And anyway,
it's good.
So
yeah,
cool. Yeah, you made me talk for a long time.
Sorry.
It's okay. All right. Anyway, thank you, Brisa, for joining us.
You're welcome.
So I hope you guys check her out. If you want to get you some cool ladies' clothes, if you haven't, please make sure you like follow the podcast. Again, we want help on YouTube. I keep asking you, just follow us on YouTube. I've been on there for years, and I have like 1,000 followers. So come on. And then if you're going to buy, sell, rent, lease, real estate, commercial, residential, whatever, penthouses, brick and mortar, retail shops, you can visit Michelle Allen. She'll be glad to help you. She's with Cry Like Realtors. And then, as I mentioned, if you want to learn to have some discipline yourself, adults or children, you can visit masonsmartialarts.com. Been open since 1993. And we have 2 locations, one in Covington and one in Millington. Be glad to get you on the road to a black belt. And if you want some cool records, books, signed memorabilia, or just come hang out, we have a hangout section there too. If you have a book club, please just come use the space for free. And that's on the square here in Covington. And if you'd like to optimize your health, holistic healthcare and hormones, Dr. Laura and Madeline, we'd be glad to help you out. And again, this is not a clinic for if you're sick. It's a clinic to help you maximize your well-being. And if you need help with social media marketing, website designs, commercials, whatever, visit masonitemarketing.com. Hopefully I will see you guys, if you've made it this far, this weekend at the Rocky Horror Show. I'm sure that Brisa and her husband will be excited to be there.
I had to look it up.
Do you not know what Rocky Horror is?
I didn't even know what it was about, and I looked it up. I was like, oh.
Oh, well, you might not want to just show it. You definitely will change your opinion of me. Well, I don't know what it is now. So anyway, thank you guys. Have a good week. Keep kicking. Thanks for watching, guys. Just remember that this is not legal advice or investment advice or business advice. This is for fun and entertainment purposes only.